Welcome to Crossroads, the broadcast ministry of Montgomery's First Baptist Church, where you can discover God's personal plan and power to conquer your problems through Jesus Christ. Join us now as God's Word heals, encourages, and enlightens your spiritual life.
Come with me over to Matthew, Matthew chapter 1. We'll meet in Matthew 1, verse 18. It may help to have this little piece of paper entitled Decorations for the Heart. Let me ask you a question. Are you ready for Christmas? That question's everywhere. Are you ready for Christmas? And that generally means, have you put up your Christmas tree? Raise your hand if you put up your Christmas tree. Oh, my goodness, some of you haven't. That's okay. We hadn't either. But we've been putting up this tree, so that's the one we're working on right now. Does anybody decorate your house on the outside? Do you ever decorate your house on the outside? Oh, did you know this about Ed Cleveland? Ed loves Christmas. Matter of fact, here's his decoration. I don't know where he finds the time to do it. But anyway, no, that's just kidding. That's not really Ed's house. But this is, I Googled the most over-decorated Christmas house in America. And what popped up was a guy named Liberto. He lives in Boston, spends 2.5 months to decorate his house, and puts 300,000 lights on it. Now, that's a little bit overboard, perhaps. But here's what I want us to focus on. We can get overboard on all the Christmas decorations. And here's what I want you to do right now. I think that Christmas affords us the opportunity to do a heart check. So here's the reminder. Make this note. Don't forget the inside. You see, decorate the inside. Maybe it's time for God to do within your heart a special redecoration. Let me point you to 1 Samuel 16, verse 7. The scripture says, "For the Lord does not see a man as a man sees, for a man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." You see, that's God's perspective. He was talking about David. David was small of stature. He didn't look like he was anything special on the outside, the runt of the litter, ruddy of complexion, and yet God said, "He's a man after my own heart." God looks at the inside. So for the next few moments, let's move beyond the exteriors and the activities of Christmas and look at our attitudes and perhaps do some heart decorating, and we'll use the model of Joseph. Let's now come to the scripture, Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man, not wanting to disgrace her, desired to put her away secretly. But when he considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for that which has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for it is he who will save his people from their sins." Now all this took place that what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet might be fulfilled, saying, "Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which translated means God with us. Joseph arose from sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife and kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and they called his name Jesus. Let's pray. Dear Father, we pray again that you would give us full focus and complete attention as we come to your transforming truth. Lord, I ask that you would get me out of the way so that your Spirit might invade this service and would be welcomed to every receptive heart. And I pray for that in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, let's start right here. Number one, the decoration of trusting. The first of the three, the decoration of trusting. That's what we see evidenced here in the life of Joseph. We learn in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, that it is impossible to please God without faith. Now, what is faith? Forsaking all, I trust him. And that's what the Lord wants us to do. You cannot please God unless you faith Him, unless you trust Him. And that's what Joseph did. Joseph received a very difficult assignment, and yet he embraced it with a sense of trust. Would you make this note where the heart is? Put down Mary's bombshell. Mary's bombshell. I want you to step just for a moment into this scene. Think about what it would have been like when Mary came to Joseph, this man that she was engaged to, and he heard these words from her. She explains, "Oh, Joseph, I've got to tell you something really important, my darling. I am expecting a baby." And I would imagine that his hearing probably turned off at that point. But then she went on. She said, "It's not just any baby. Oh, Joseph, I've not betrayed you. I've not committed adultery. Joseph, this baby is of the Holy Spirit. This baby is the promised Son of God. This is the Messiah, the Savior of humanity." I wonder how Joseph responded to that. Well, the Bible said at first he did not believe her, because verse 19 tells us that he was going to put her away. So obviously he did not buy the story. Now, you had one of two options in that day. If somebody had been unfaithful to you and you were engaged to them, one option was the punishment of death by stoning. And yet the Bible says in verse 9 that he was wanting to simply to put her away privately. He would detach from her, divorce her, not see her put to death. But he obviously did not believe her until, and marked down Joseph's dream. That's the number 2 point. The bombshell and then Joseph's dream. Oh, God came to Joseph in the form of a dream, and he spoke to his heart, and he said that Mary is really going to have the very Son of God. Essentially, God was telling him in this dream, "Joseph, trust me." Now, friends, this is a very, very important point. You see, we live in a fallen world, do we not? Oh, we live in this fallen world. And in that moment, Joseph's world fell apart. And I know that he had a sense of being angry, discouraged. He was hurt. And yet God totally rerouted his emotions through this dream. And he decided to trust God. Now, I don't know what you're dealing with. Maybe in this fallen world, you've taken a fall. You know, we live in a world of financial disasters, earthquakes, fires, terrorists. Oh, we've got hurricanes. You name it, we've experienced it. And maybe right now you're going through some personal difficulties and personal problems. Well, I want to urge you to go into a Joseph mode of trusting God. That's what the Lord is calling you to do. Forsaking all, Father, I trust you. And so as you trust God, it's simply a matter of saying, "Father, I know that you're at work for my good. I know that whatever's happening in my life will bring glory to you." And so that's what the Lord wants you to do. Embrace an attitude of trust. We see it pictured in Mark chapter 4. The disciples had gone out onto the Sea of Galilee, and it seems like every time they got on that sea, they ran into a storm, invariably. Well, here the storm is raging. The disciples are afraid. And what is Jesus doing? He's in the bow of the boat, sound asleep. He's not worried. He is resting. Why? Because he trusts his Father. He knows that God is in charge. Well, today, if you're in the middle of the storm, I want you to have that attitude. Know that God is in charge. Trust him. Decorate your heart with the beautiful adornment of trust. I saw that uniquely played out in the life of a dear friend named Mike Kelly. As a matter of fact, we had Mike's funeral service here on Wednesday. It was quite a unique service. Some of you were here, but for those who were not, I can tell you that Mike was a local legend. At Sidney Lanier High School, Mike had the uniqueness of being all-state in 3 sports for 3 years. His sophomore, junior, and senior year, he was all-state in football, basketball, and baseball. Absolutely unheard of. Went to Auburn to play football. His sophomore year, he blew out his knee. He was going to be the be-all star at Auburn. And fortunately, he didn't come and take over, or Pat Sullivan might not have won the Heisman Trophy. That's what they said. But do you know who stood behind this pulpit Wednesday to talk about him? A Heisman Trophy winner named Bo Jackson was here to honor Mike. Gene Chizik came and he spoke. Pat Diet was sitting right there. It was a remarkable funeral service for a remarkable man. 3 years ago, Mike was diagnosed with stomach cancer. That's a hard pill for anybody to swallow. So the issue is, when you have hard news come your way, how do you respond to it? And Mike responded with extreme faith. He spent 40 days in the intensive care over at Baptist East. A few weeks ago, I'd gone by to see him, and he just gripped my hand with that great, huge hand of his, and still strong. And he said, "Jay, you know, it's tough. I love my Jackie so much. They'd known each other since they were 9. And they dated for 10 years before they were married, and they were married 49 years. And he gripped my hand and he said, "Jay, all I can tell you as I face this terrible battle is that it's a win-win. If I use this cancer as my ticket to go to heaven, that's a win. I want to see Jesus and those who've gone ahead. But," he said, "if I get to stay here and keep serving the Lord and blessing my family and getting to take you deer hunting, Jay, that'll be a win too." I was pulling for him to win, frankly, because he had one of my best hunting places. But I can tell you, the Lord decided to bring him home. But that man died in faith. He fulfilled his days because he kept trusting the Lord. And that's what God invites all of us to do. So would you make this note? It's your turn. When difficulty descends, will you doubt or trust? When the difficulty descends on you, when the storm hits, when you get the pink slip, when you have a bad medical report, when somebody that you're counting on, they hurt you, they walk out on you, will you doubt or trust? The brilliant writer C.S. Lewis, he gave this encouragement. He said, "In this fallen world, we're prone, when bad things happen, to doubt our faith." He said, "Here's a better posture. Why don't you doubt your doubts and trust your faith, instead of trust your doubts and doubting your faith?" Let that sink in. You see, flip it around. When hard things hit, doubt your doubts. That's certainly what Joseph did. Joseph, not only in the New Testament, but in the Old Testament. You remember Joseph was sold as a slave by his brothers? Then he was falsely accused by Miss Potiphar. And then he was thrown into prison for 13 years. He languished there because he was a man of integrity and served God. That was his punishment. And yet God didn't abandon him. He kept trusting. He held to his integrity. And what was the result? He was catapulted out of the prison to be the prime minister of the nation and save the people of Israel. God was at work because Joseph did not quit. He kept trusting. What about Joseph? Joseph, the mother, married to Mary, the mother of Jesus, what did he do? Oh man, he kept trusting. How hard was it when people mocked and ridiculed Mary? Did he turn his back on her? No, he stood firm. He kept trusting. How hard was it when they got to Bethlehem and there was no room for that expectant mother? How hard was it when he had to play midwife and deliver that baby? How hard was it when horrible Herod attacked the baby and he had to translate those wise men's gifts into some financial fuel and they had to flee down to Egypt and stayed in a foreign land for years? How hard was that? But did he give up? No, he kept the faith. He kept trusting. Friend, here's God's assignment for me and you. Do your best and trust God with the rest. That's the way to operate. Do your best with what you can do and then trust God with what you can't do. That's God's call to you today. That's trusting. Let's move to the second heart decoration of obeying. It says in Matthew 1, verse 24, when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and he took Mary home as his wife. You see, the ultimate evidence of trust is obedience. There was a famous missionary named Elizabeth Elliot, and I loved to listen to her radio program. I listened to it for years, and one day she made this provocative statement that I'll never forget. She said, "The entire Christian life is bound up in this phrase, in the hymn, Trust and Obey." Do you remember that hymn, Trust and Obey? "For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. That's exactly the call of God. You see, when you trust Him, you obey Him. That's what the Scripture says. And that's what Joseph did. He did this difficult and dangerous assignment. His heart setting was this: oh God, I don't understand it all. I don't know why you've chosen me, but I'll do whatever you say. I'll go wherever you send me. I'll work with whoever you assign me. That was his spirit. The real evidence of the fact that you trust God is that you obey Him. There's a famous story that comes from Roger Staubach. Roger Staubach was the ultimate quarterback. He was the Heisman Trophy winner. He played for Navy, and then he worked with Tom Landry with the Dallas Cowboys. Those were the glory days of the Cowboys. I can remember it when I was a kid, always watching the Cowboys win. It was wonderful. They were America's team. But I heard Roger Staubach interviewed about his relationship with Coach Landry. And he put it like this. He said, you know, I was a Heisman Trophy winner. I was used to calling all the plays. And then Coach Landry said, we're going to do it different, Roger. In order for us to win everything this season, I want you to let me call all the plays. At first, Staubach resisted. But then finally, he said, his resistance became trust and obedience. And you know what the result was? That he was at peace and they won the Super Bowl. They won it all. Now, here's the parallel point. Come to that place where you say, Lord, I trust you, and consequently, I will obey you. Check your worksheet by the heart. If you love me, Jesus said, you will obey what I command. Maybe this should be part of your interior Christmas redecoration. Maybe it's time to recalibrate your obedience. You see, God wants you to replace any rebellion in your heart with a sense of repentance. He wants you to replace defiance with dependence. He wants you to replace stubbornness with surrender. That's what the prodigal son did. You remember his story? Oh, he thought he knew it all. Father didn't know anything. He turned his back on his dad. He went to the far country and he lost it all. And the Bible tells us in Luke 15, verse 17, that he came to his senses and his stubborn rebellion melted into repentance, and he came back home with a repentant, soft heart, ready to obey his Father. As a matter of fact, I would put it like this. Would you make this other note? It's your turn. Maybe you've been the prodigal. Maybe you've made some mistakes. Maybe you've turned your back on God. Now it's your turn to write God a blank check this Christmas. And that blank check simply says, God, whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. I'll go wherever you want me to go. I'll go with whoever you want me to go with. I'll give you a blank check, no strings attached. Maybe you need to do that. I talked to a guy not long ago and told me a really sad story. He said, you know, Jay, I've been in rebellion against the Lord. I've not been doing what God wanted me to do. And he said, I'm paying some high prices for bad choices. He said, it's cost me my marriage. I'm divorced now. And I'd done his wedding. And he said, my job is in jeopardy. And he said, I know this is a strong word, but my children, they seem to hate my guts. He said, I've been doing it my own way, and it hadn't worked out very well. And he said, I just wanted to come by and ask you to be my prayer partner, my accountability partner, because I've got to go all in. I've got to be reconnected to the Lord. I may have just described your story or a portion of it. I don't care who you are. I don't care what kind of mistakes you've made. Here's the great good news. We serve a God of a second chance. And like that prodigal, if you will humble yourself, if you'll turn your rebellion into repentance, if you'll turn your stubbornness into surrender, if you'll turn your defiance into dependence, God will meet you right there. And today, metaphorically, you can write Him a blank check that says, oh, Father, I want to get back in again. Well, let me show you one more thing. One more great truth, the heart decoration of caring, the heart decoration of caring. You see, that's what Joseph did. Oh, Joseph, he cared for Mary. Oh, he cared for her when people were gossiping about her. He cared for her as he took her down to Bethlehem. He cared for her as the baby was born. He cared for her in Egypt. He cared for her as he did his work as a carpenter in Nazareth. He was a tremendous caregiver. The Bible says that he took care of not only Mary, but Jesus. It's a picture of caring and serving. We had another funeral here this week, not only for Mike Kelly, but on Tuesday, we had a funeral for one of my heroes. His name is Ed Peeks. Oh, many of you knew Ed, part of this church for many years. He and his wife Vivian, right after World War II, he was that greatest generation. They got married over in the old Stakely Sanctuary on September the 16th of 1947. They were married 70 years. And this couple was as faithful as a metronome. They would always sit right back there where the barrows are seated right now. I would walk in about 7:45, and there would be Ed and Vivian just always there, always faithful, always steady. She had a pink outfit on, and she was one of our ushers, our greeters for years. And vivacious Vivian, I called her. Oh, what a lady. But then in these last years, her mind has evacuated. And here's what Ed did. Even though Ed was fighting diabetes and he fought cancer, at age 90, he got a hospital bed and he moved Vivian into his room. And he would take care of her with such tenderness. We have a ministry in our church called the In-Home Ministry. And Mary Ruth and I, for a number of years, have been assigned to the Peaks, and we would go over to their house. And the last time we visited over there a few months ago, it took us back to show us Vivian lying in her hospital bed, just curled up. And he said that he cares for her 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and it's a privilege. He said, Jay, she doesn't always call my name, but I'll never forget her name. I just have one prayer that I'll live one day longer than she lives. You know what true love looks like, friends? True love doesn't necessarily look like a postcard from a honeymoon in Hawaii. True love looks like taking care of an incapacitated wife when she can't call your name. That's what real love looks like. He took us back to the kitchen and he showed us how he makes her breakfast. He said Vivian loves scrambled eggs, and he would take toast and delicately spread those eggs on the toast, and then he would neatly scatter bacon across the top, and he would cut it up into 16 pieces, and because she couldn't even pick it up, he would feed her those pieces for breakfast every morning, lunch the same, supper the same. My friend, that's what caring looks like. In this world of narcissism, in this world of selfishness, in the world that says, I need bigger, better, and more, do you know the cure for selfishness is serving? You see, we see this pictured here, and listen to how Jesus put it in Matthew 25, verse 40. Whatever you do for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did it for me. You see, here is the call of God. It's your turn. Would you make this note? Do something for someone who can do nothing for you. Let that be your mantra this Christmas season. Do something for someone who can do nothing for you. Let me give you a couple of quick thoughts about how that works. Maybe do something for a child. In other words, start in the nursery. Maybe it's at your own home. Start in the nursery. Do something for someone who can do nothing for you. Take care of that little child. We certainly do it around here. Oh, we minister to children in our Children's Learning Center and our tutoring program. That's why we had the Santa's Workshop this week. Maybe move from the nursery to the nursing home. I can't tell you how many people are warehoused in nursing homes. They're put there and they're forgotten. And you can make all the difference in somebody's life if you'll go and take that bright smile and the love of Christ and go visit somebody who seems to be put away and forgotten. Maybe you could do something for somebody in your neighborhood. Maybe there's a neighbor and they've got too many leaves in their yard and they can't get out there and rake, or they need a plate of cookies, or they need a loving smile or a helping hand. From the nursery to the nursing home to your neighborhood or to the nations. Did you know that you can minister to the nations by coming to First Baptist Church virtually any day of the week? We have a program called English as a Second Language, or Conversational English. 4 days a week across the street in the Caring Center, we have a cafe set up for people to come in. And last year we had people from 61 nations coming here. I wish you could have heard Bill Lambert last night. It was international night last night, and Bill Lambert has been in the Conversational English Cafe, and he seemed to know the name of every person that walked out this door, and they were just hugging on Bill. He just said, it's like I get to go on a mission trip every day without a passport when I come down to First Baptist Church. That's what I have you to know, that you can find the cure to selfishness in serving. Well, here's the bottom line, last note. The take-home point, Joseph shaped his life around Jesus by trusting, obeying, and caring. And I believe he's inviting us to do exactly the same. Well, let's pray.
Father, thank you for sharing worship with us. We trust God has used this broadcast for your spiritual growth and encouragement. If this ministry has touched your life, please let us know. If you'd like to share in the cost of this broadcast, you may send your gifts and support to First Baptist Church. Your partnership with us will help strengthen and extend this ministry and will be greatly appreciated. And remember, when you are at the crossroads, follow Christ.